Thanks, Matt.
I'm going to say your name.
Thanks, buddy. Good morning. My name's Travis Koch. My wife Amanda and now two sons. We've been going here for a while, right? Hilarious. But Rob asked me to speak. This is probably, I don't know how many months ago. And I was like, yeah, I got something to say. Definitely. And then he asked me again, which I was like, unfortunately, I might have said everything the first time. Got to come up with some new material. We'll see how we do. But thanks for friends and family that are here, that are tuning in online. My dad is not tuning in online, but it turns out he's actually on a bike on a day two of a two-day ride from Houston, Texas, to Austin, Texas. It's they call it an MS-150. It's not quite 150 miles, but he goes. He's done it every year. I did it with him last year. It was pretty cool. Sitting on the bike the morning of the second day was probably the most challenging part. But it was a great ride, and he's there. So, Dad, we're praying for you, thinking about you. And there's thousands and thousands of riders doing this, and it's a huge deal. You know. They come out, they have training programs, they have schedules, and so when I was getting ready for it last year, you know, you back yourself up this many weeks and months, and you say, need to ride 10 miles, and then you go ride 10, and now 15 miles, and you keep doing it, and you build up kind of this physical fitness plan as you're going. And it was great, and it made the ride so enjoyable. We're riding in, you know, into Austin, and it's probably about 80, 85 miles on the second day, and you're going into these hills in Austin, and people are screaming. It's great. It was a great, great thing. But Peter is going to give us some points today, not so much on that physical fitness program. We're very familiar with those. We see them usually around New Year's. Everybody gets pretty familiar with them. Or before you go to the beach in the summer, you start getting familiar with it again. Or maybe after you go to the beach. Woo! But the spiritual fitness development program is something that I Googled, and there weren't a lot of things out there. So luckily for us, in Peter, we're going to talk, and he provides us a great roadmap on how spiritually we can become fit. And so that's a little bit about what we're going to talk today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, if you have it, electronic device or something you can actually write in, feel free to open up. We'll follow. But there's going to be 3 points that we're going to talk about. And we'll go through these. We'll break up the scripture into 3 main points, and you can see it on the board. We'll talk about a spiritual training program and a little bit of the basics or the fundamentals of what that looks like. And Peter, for some reason in my brain, I keep calling him Paul. So if I call him Paul, it's Peter. It's second, you know, this is Peter who we're talking about here. But Peter goes through and he talks a very detailed plan on what that spiritual training program can be. We're going to look at some of the benefits of spiritual fitness and what that provides for us. And then finally, we're going to look at, and most importantly, what our motivation is in terms of, how do we wake up and go to the spiritual gym, if you will, and do those repetitions. So if you have a Bible or an electronic device, we'll open up to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. This is the NIV version, so you can read along with me as we go. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. We'll stop right there. Yeah, this is like weeks of material that Rob has given me, so that's a good thing. When we look at this, the first part that jumps out is that for this reason, and it smells, you know, kind of walks like a duck and sounds like a duck of a therefore, right? Which we always have to ask, why is it therefore? That's right. Or what is the reason that we're talking about? So for those that are maybe here for the first time, or maybe that weren't here with us, didn't tune in last week, for this reason, it's talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Peter goes through and he reminds us that we were made for more noble things than this broken world. He talks about the good life that is found in Christ and how Christ offers that to us. And because of this, therefore, okay, so for this reason, he starts to go through and talk about seven things that we are to add to our faith, okay? Before we get into those, I want to stop one quick second and talk about that word add. So make every effort to add to your faith goodness. That word add, it's actually, the Greek for it, you know, is a word called epikorego, which means expand diligent effort. Koregos, they used to be these guys back in Greece in the day, you know, and these writers would come up and they'd pen and ink these great manuscripts, and the state would say, ah, we have the theater, and but nobody would really show up with the pocketbook, you know. I mean, nobody would have the check to write and make payment for all the things that would go into one of these productions, except for these koregos. So they were kind of the highfalutin Greeks. But it was a significant commitment that they would make. So when Peter chooses this word add, what he is saying is it's not, you know, yeah, oh yeah, you should do this. You should marry this. No, what he's telling us is you need to invest in this. This is going to be something that is going to be costly for you, but it is worthwhile. And we'll see some of the benefits when we talk in the second part. But that word add that the English translators put in really means, hey, make an investment in, pour into these things, your faith. And so we'll go on and look one on one. The word faith is the first part that we're adding all these things to, and it really is the fundamental ground base level of where we are. It's a belief. It's a belief in who Christ is, who he says he is, what he did for us. That is our faith. That is kind of the root of where we start, or the snowball at the top of the hill, if you will, that's going to gain momentum and eventually be this massive force by the time that it gets to the ground. But the first thing that Peter tells us to add to it is goodness, right? James talked about in James chapter 2, verse 19, he says, "You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." So just because you have faith, there needs to be a conscious decision that you're going to add goodness to that faith. Or the idea of a decision to do right versus wrong, a decision to make things good versus corrupt with the knowledge that you have in your faith. And that's the first part that Peter talks about. To that goodness then, he goes on and he says, add knowledge. Now the Greek word, this term knowledge is going to show up here. It'll show up later in verse 8 as well. They're slightly different. The word for knowledge that Peter refers to here is gnosis. It's talking about a practical wisdom. It's talking about a study, if you will, things that you could learn. And Rob talked about last week ways that we do that. We learn and have practical wisdom of the Lord through community. Oh, I love it. I love that that's the first one, right? And that's why we're here. That's great. Through community. I have these friends. They live in Minnesota now. It's kind of a group of misfit toys, if you will. And these guys, when it's one-on-one, we have a great time hanging on together. But when there's two or three or four of us, the individual, this buddy Mike Pugh, I don't know if he's looking in right now, but Pugh's a great guy. He was my roommate in college for 3 years. It was a little boys' school in South Central Colorado that we went to, and Pugh's a great guy. But when this buddy of mine, Steve Gorowski, gets around him, you know, I know Mike in a very neat way, but when Steve gets around, Steve brings other stuff out of Mike that I never see. Yeah, and usually it's because he's poking the bear, right? You know, but he brings things out of Mike that I never see. And so community is true. The part about the Lord, you know, we have a relationship with God. The other ways that we can learn it through the Word, right? I mean, we've got a great textbook here with practical wisdom, just hundreds and hundreds of pages of it on how we can learn. But what I might be learning might be something different that Jess is learning, or might be something, you know, different that other people are bringing. And so as we're bringing in community, we can build that knowledge. The other one that Rob talked about was prayer. and you know, talking to someone or tuning in to them. You know, if you want to get to know someone better, this is, I used to tell the high school kids this that I worked with, and be like, hey, if there's this guy or this gal that, you know, you think is cute or whatever, you want to get to know him a little bit better, you're not going to touch base with him for 5 minutes a day, you know. That's not how it works. I mean, you are talking to him all the time. Now, I mean, it's probably texting all the time. It's Facebooking or whatever it is. But you're learning about this person. You're just diving in. And prayer is one way that we do that, when we're talking to the Lord. So to that goodness, Peter is calling us, say, hey, add knowledge. Add this practical wisdom to wanting to do good as well, and that will continue. From the knowledge, he goes on in verse 6 and says, add self-control. I laugh because there's people here that I work with, and they know that I've mastered this self-control bit. That's why I brought them, actually, so that they could, not so much. No, the self-control, we think about self-control, and we think, oh, don't do this, oh, don't do that. And that's true, that's part of it, mastering those passions that are in our life, things that, oh man, we just want to run after certain things maybe we know aren't right. So when we master that self-control, we can say, yeah, maybe we're not doing that. But it's also our mood, it's our heart, it's things that are going on inside. It's when we don't get our way, or if we hear bad news, or we know that something is not going exactly how we want it, do we, and that's probably the people that work with me are going, yeah, that, yep, shacked it, that's about right. You know, do we have that control? Peter is telling us, hey, with that knowledge, add that self-control. And the more that we learn of the Lord, the more that we learn his word, when things are coming our way, we will be able to take care of our mood, hold on to our mood. With that self-control, eventually, is going to come perseverance. And we've learned this through James and through 1 Peter. And it talks about the habitual pattern of us knowing that the will of the Lord that is upon us, it's coming from a hand of a loving God. That doesn't always make it fun. That doesn't always make it right. But those two go hand in hand. If we can't control our own mood and our own reaction to circumstance, it's going to be difficult for us to see that eternal perspective or that big picture view or that long view of that perseverance that we can build. After perseverance, it says to add godliness. Now, that's a little g. Every jot and tittle, I think, is accurate. You know, this is not we become godlike. No, this is a godlikeness, or a I like to think of it as kind of, you know, like your eternal father's goggles. You know, we look at things, we see things happening around us. 99 out of 100 times, I'm looking them, you know, through my eyes, through human eyes. But as we continue to get more fit in this spiritual fitness of ours, that self-control starts to come into place, the perseverance starts to come into place, eventually that godliness starts to come into place, to where we have an understanding that God is present, that he is active, that he is with us in the moment of things that are happening, and that he is in control. And we can use that vision and that perspective that's going to continue to build. From there, from that godliness, Peter talks about in the NIV, it says mutual affection. If you have an English Standard Version, it might say brotherly affection, or that philos love, that brotherly love. This is, I love this one, and we could probably spend an entire Sunday just talking about this. It's the love as you look around in this group that we call Eastgate, or as you walk around, put yourself in anywhere. It might be at work, it might be at the store, it might be on the road, it might be here at church, to where you can look and there is no discrimination of race or of class. There is a brotherly love that does not see an elitism. You know, if there's something in the back of your brain, maybe it's a political affiliation of where you go, ah, well, those guys, you know, that's probably not the brotherly love that Peter is talking about. And it takes a while to get there. It takes that godlike perspective, or those, you know, God goggles, if you will, that we can see how things are planning out or how things are working out amongst one another, all right? And eventually that philos, that brotherly love that we have for each other, is going to mature and it's going to be added, and we're going to add love, and that's agape love. And this is this is a love that is God-like. This is a love that is self-sacrificing. This is a love that when you look around to your brother and it's the person at work that you really don't like all that much, or that you doesn't deserve that promotion that you should have gotten, once that brotherly love develops, hopefully an agape love can develop to where, hey, you're supporting that person, you're loving that person. And it is not easy to do. It is at a cost to ourselves. When we start adding these up, you go, you know, back to that add word, a spiritual training program, it's hard work. You have to be diligent, and it has to be structured as well. We look at the diligent part, you know. I love our country. Being an American is great. No offense. If you're not an American in the room, it's awesome. Yay. USA, right? Yeah, yeah. Got an amen. First amen of the day. The door is open. All right. But being in this country is also hilarious, you know. You turn on the television, 20-minute abs, you know. And then a couple weeks later, there's 15-minute abs. You know, I actually think I saw something the other day that, you know, 6-minute abs I know is out there for a long time, but I think I saw a 5-minute ab workout, you know, and pretty soon it's going to be, hey, here's a pill for your abs. And I think they have that. You actually just sprinkle it on your food. It's in a powder format, but powder abs, you know, it's like, you don't even need to do any work, right? You know, these little devices, you know, that we have, it's like, man, life has just become so cush as an American. And Peter is saying, hey, this training program, this spiritual development, it's actually work. You have to invest in this if you want to get the benefits on the backside. So he reminds us of that in verses 5-7 here. The other thing that we see is that it's structured. You know, these things build on one another. I love mountaintop experiences. You all might have had one in your life, or maybe it's a show you've seen or a sermon you've heard. You might be having one right now, as a matter of fact. You know? Yeah, we'll see. But, the funny part about mountaintop experiences is we get armed with this knowledge. We hear for 20, 30 minutes on the way to do it right. And we walk out and, man, we are ready to lift the spiritual world. You know, it's like we want to go from that faith that maybe has just developed, and we want to go straight to agape love. That's right, that guy who bugs me. And maybe for a day it works. I love you and I'm going to serve you. And by Wednesday, man, I cannot stand you. You know, it would be like walking in and putting 400 or 500 pounds on a bench press or a squat rack, and you've never lifted a weight in your life. You know, that spiritual workout, that structure that we have, Peter puts these in order for a reason. And so go back and look. That's my challenge to you this week. If you've been light on your spiritual reps, crack this thing open. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5-7. Take a look. See where you are. See where you are and how that development maybe can continue, okay? We'll see a little bit more on verses 8 and 9 as we get into kind of where these benefits are going to be. Verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Ah, it's great. Verse 8, he talks about these qualities. It's not just one, you know. The Pharisees, man, knowledge, they had it down. They knew the scripture, but how are they doing everywhere else, you know? The sixth and seventh one, whoever said community over here, it talks about that mutual affection or that brotherly love. It talks about agape love. You cannot do that by yourself. So if you are tuning in, I'm glad. Or if you're here and you're by yourself and you go home and you're walking that spiritual fitness program alone. No. It's communal. It's supposed to be communal. These seven things that we add to our faith, they complement each other. You look at, take the Olympics, right? That happened a little bit ago. Hopefully it's still fresh in your mind. You look at those guys that run the 5K. It's a kind of the 3-miler. I mean, these guys, you know, it's like, they're rails, you know? They're amazing athletes. They have lungs like, you know, an elephant, but they got, you know, legs like toothpicks a little bit. They're fast. Don't get me wrong. I couldn't catch them. There's no way. Or then you look at maybe the power lifters, right? And these guys all day, they're eating pancakes and they're just moving heavy stuff all day long. That's what they do all day. This one guy's running, you know, same team, USA, same USA. This guy, what are you going to do? You're going to run today. And what are you going to do? You're going to run faster tomorrow. And this guy, you're going to lift stuff. Tomorrow you're going to lift heavier stuff. You know, that's the training program these guys have. And that's all they do. And you go, well, is that the most healthy way to be? Or maybe it's the decathlete. Or maybe it's these guys, these CrossFit, you know, man, you see those guys on ESPN, macho. And the gals, don't get me wrong, still macho, you know. These are folks that they run, so they're fast. They jump, they're strong, powerful, they're agile. They're pulling, they're pushing, they're yanking, they're tugging, you know, they're cartwheeling, they're doing it all. And I think that second picture, you take the decathlete, he might not be the fastest. He might not be the strongest in the shot put or whatever it is. But that athlete trains to the point of their overall health is better. And it's the same with these seven things that we're to add to our faith. Go back and look. Take a look. Where are you adding? Do you have room maybe to add more, to branch out? And I would challenge you for that. So with that, I think what Peter's trying to tell us is a spiritual fitness that is going to yield a healthy and fruitful life. It's not just one thing. It's not just knowledge. It's not just love. You can love, but if you're not based in the truth, you know, are you really loving? Are you really loving? So look to CrossFit in your spiritual life. That's something that we're called to do, and Peter gives us a bunch of examples on how to do that. The second part of that verse, when you look at verse 9, it says, but whoever does not have them, and it's talking about these qualities, right? And again, I missed in verse 8, it talks about ever increasing. Man, this guy is fired up. Peter, passionate guy, I love it. But in verse 9, he says, but whoever does not have them, i.e. these qualities, is nearsighted and blind, forgetting they have been cleansed from their past sins. This burden they have, this distraction, this short-sightedness. I look at my son. you know, he's 8. I love him. I love him. And I see myself in him. Because his short-sightedness might be, you know, his video game doesn't go all that great. And man, it is the end of the world. Not just for the video game, right? You know, but for him, it's tears and, you know, I didn't destroy the kingdom or whatever it is, or, you know, or maybe it's a strikeout on the baseball field. And I laugh, right? But guess what? When I was 8, that was my nearsightedness. That my eternal perspective was I the third out in the inning? Do I have to go back and pick daisies in right field because I struck out? You know, that was the end of the world for me then. And then when I was 18, it was, you know, my prom date who didn't dig my act anymore. And that was the end of the world. And then when I was 28, it was a job or an assignment or something that I didn't happen, you know, which at the time was the end of the world. Wow. My gosh. Why is this happening, Lord? You know? And now that I'm 38 and a little change, you know, I wonder, what is my nearsightedness now? What is my nearsightedness now? So we'll talk about that. We'll look real quick and we'll take a look at what Peter is calling us maybe to set our eyes upon and what our motivation can be. So let's go on and take a look at verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, I love Peter, right? This guy, man, he's calling us. He's calling us out. He's saying, confirm this. Know this. Know this election that's already happened. Know that this calling, you know, that for probably most people in here has occurred. You know, make known that it is true. This is the same guy, right? I mean, you know, that's like, I'm coming out on the water. Oh, this is happening right now, you know, and he kind of does this one. Or the same guy that's like, oh, you're coming to get, no, I'm pick up a sword, get your ear, you know, and just cuts it off. This is that passionate guy, right? It's the same guy when the rooster crows. He fixes his eyes on the Lord, and the Lord sees him. This is the same guy who has been there. I look at my son, and I see the things that he's floundering with or the things that he's struggling with, and I just want to grab him and say, man, it's all right, you struck out. It's going to be okay. This is what you need to do next time. And that's what Peter is doing for us. The same Peter that has done all these things, that has let the Lord down, you know, eye to eye and has seen it. I'm not one of his disciples. This is the same Peter that is calling you right now. And he's saying, confirm this. Let these things continue to increase in measure in your life. All the more so, verse 11, you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, that's it, right? I'm not going to ask a poll of who thinks they got a good idea for heaven. It changes for me, I got to admit. I mean, I thought it was always going to be kind of this eternal mogul run hill, you know, that you could just bounce and ski for the rest of your life. Or maybe, people from Florida, there's these things in Colorado called mountains. I kind of get the, what's a mogul? Anyway, they have bumps on them, and when you get a few feet of powder, oh man, it's hilarious. It's like, okay, let me talk. It's like, it's about chest high, you know, perfect tube, Jody. Yeah, okay, so it's like a great surf. You know, I read this book, it's called Peace Like a River. It's a fictional book, and I don't want to spoil it if you've never read it. It's a good read. But there's a picture of heaven in the end of that book that the author describes, and I won't tell you who's there because that'll spoil it. But it brings me to tears. It talks about, you know, the ground coming alive, and there being butterflies that this guy has never seen before, and there being, you know, senses of just things and people going to this city, and man, it makes me go, I'm ready. I'm ready. After a week like this week, after things that we've seen on the news or friends of ours, it's difficult. It is challenging to keep that on our mind. And to be honest with you, when I think about heaven and it's a really bad day, I don't think about wanting to lift weights, not spiritual weights. I'm just ready to go. I don't really want to rep. I don't really want to bury my nose, you know. What I want to do is I want to go crawl on my dad's lap and wrap my arms around him. Not after a week like this week. So this is challenging. So the question becomes, you know, if we're supposed to go do this, if Peter is so confident, come on, increasing measure, it's time to do it, then what is our motivation going to be, all right? I know. Do it for the donuts. For those that can't see or maybe are listening, there's a picture of Krispy Kreme donuts on the screen. And it says, what's your motivation? I'll tell a quick story. I'm doing all right on time. I ran a marathon once. This is about 20 pounds ago or whatever, you know, a decade or so ago. Not that long. John was born, but it was interesting. The training was good, you know, same thing, great. Physical training program, run this many miles on this day, run this many, you know. But I get to the race, and I'll tell you what, all this training, man, I'm feeling good, you know? I'm like, yeah, here we go. People are high-fiving. You know, there's folks clapping. This is great. And a couple hours in, same, doing good. And then a little bit after that, you know, it's like, oh, I can feel lactic acid pooling like buckets in my hand, you know? Or maybe there's a twinge in my calf. But as I'm running along, these folks are holding up these signs, and they say, Krispy Kreme at the finish line, you know? And I feel nothing in my hands anymore. I'm like, that's right, you know? a fried ring of fat and sugar glaze. Let's do this. You know, only 10 more miles to go? What? You know, so then we go, and we keep going, and we keep going, and there's more signs. Krispy Kreme. I'm like, yes. And we get there, and I turn the corner, and Amanda and John are not here. I don't know if I'll mention this in the second service, but they're there, and they got signs, and they're in the, and I'm looking at the finish line, and I'm thinking, donuts, you know? And I also wanted to beat Oprah, okay? So I wanted to beat Oprah's time anyway. Sorry. I don't know why. I just wanted to beat her. But I'm thinking these donuts, man, and I'm running. I run right by John and Amanda. They're like, Dad, oh. I'm like, ah, you know, and I'm going. And I cross the finish line, and they put this medal, and I walk into the food tent. I'm like, yeah. And all they have are these Panera multigrain bagels. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, the half marathoners ate all the donuts. And I'm like, that's my last marathon, right? I just walked off. Horrible. No, a Panera multigrain bagel is delicious, don't get me wrong. During the race, at the end of the race, when I was donut-minded, there was something that was really neat that was going on. There were folks, right, that apparently they had the advanced training program versus like the entry training program, that had actually finished the race, and they have turned around, and they had their medals on, and they're running back, and they're grabbing their brother or their sister or their friend or their training partner who's struggling, and they're carrying them across the finish line. There's droves of them. You know, it's not just one or two. I mean, I'm talking about these people who were so strong that they have left the glory of the donut tent to come back in the muck and in the mire and race and help and reach out and grab hold of these folks. When we think about our motivation on how we're going through this broken world, man, it is challenging. It is tough to picture heaven or what it looks like on certain days when we look around and we see just the muck that we're walking around in. It might be loss. It might be I don't need to give you the examples. I know you get it. I know you get that. But there's one thing that we can focus our eyes on. And it's someone who left his father's side, and he came, and he ran after us. And he knows we're not done, and he's still doing it. And he's doing it with open arms. He's saying, come on, we can finish this together. I want you to know that there's one that came here for us, that we can build our knowledge on him, that when there are days when we wake up, and we don't want to hit the spiritual gym, he's there with us. And we've seen him. And there are folks that talk about him and give a great picture of him. Let that be our source of motivation. Let that be our source of inspiration as we go. I'll finish with this verse and then I'll pray. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our spiritual weakness, and that the joy that was set before you, that you would come back and reach out for us. Help us set our eyes on you, to want to build on this faith that we have, these traits that one day perfectly in your presence and in your kingdom will manifest into an agape love. I thank you for every person here, and if they don't know you, that they can come to know this person who loves us so. Thanks for this time. We love you. We know you're here with us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll stand. I think there's a closing blessing that I might have control over. Great. Technology. I love it. So we'll say this, and then if you need prayer, come on down front. I'll hang out for a while. Thanks for coming back. If this is your first time here, come check it out again. You've got a body of believers here that love you, whether you realize it or not, and that love the Lord. So come on back and check it out. But we'll speak this upon one another, and then we'll bail out. May you see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. May the Lord hold you steady and still. In Jesus Christ, hold firm, take heart. In his love, there is hope for you. All right. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.